And now, here is Winfred Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Belief in Satan as an actual being has fallen on hard times in our world. Millions of Americans believe they are too educated and too sophisticated to accept the Bible's teaching about Satan. They may not deny the existence of evil, but seem to believe there is no connection between a mythical being called Satan and evil. No true Bible believer can accept that position. The Son of God Himself definitely accepted the reality of Satan. Jesus told the 70 who had returned from their mission, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Luke 10:18. If the Son of God accepted the reality of Satan, how can those who call themselves Christians deny His reality? Please listen to what our Lord taught about Satan in His letter to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Christ told the Christians at Smyrna, "I know your works and tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, and are the synagogue of Satan." Revelation 2:9. Jesus said to the church at Pergamos, "I know your works and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is. And you hold fast my name and have not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwells." Revelation 2:13. Christ assured the church at Thyatira, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put up on you no other burden." Revelation 2:24. The Lord said to the dead church at Sardis, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews, but are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you." Revelation 3:9. Did you notice in my reading the expression, "Satan's seat"? Revelation 2:13. The Greek word translated seat is thronos, from which we derive our English word throne. The Greek word appears 61 times in the New Testament and is almost always translated throne. In fact, the King James Version is the only version with which I am acquainted that uses the word seat. The New King James Version translates the word throne. My lesson today will be based on the topic Satan's seat or Satan's throne. More than 60 years ago, I purchased a little booklet with the title "Hell Over Hollywood, The Truth About the Movies" by Dan Gilbert, chairman of the Christian newspaper Men's Committee to Investigate the Motion Picture Industry. A few brief excerpts from Dan Gilbert's small book will set the tone for our study today. He affirms, "This alien influence which the movies have enthroned over America has perverted the character of our people. It has dried up the sources of spiritual strength. It has plagued us with the pagan spirit of materialism and sexuality." Page 22. "But Hollywood at work, or perhaps we should say the devil at work through Hollywood, presents a deliberate design to corrupt the morals of American youth." Page 22. One final excerpt will have to suffice for today. "Hollywood debases, debauches, and defiles the characters and lives of those who are brought within reach of its contaminating power and propaganda." Page 47. These are very serious indictments of the movie industry. Do you think they were exaggerations of the moral and spiritual atmosphere in the 1940s? Dan Gilbert wrote his booklet more than 60 years ago. Is anyone so naive or blind that he thinks the situation has improved in the years that have intervened since the book was published? I do not know if Dan Gilbert is still alive, but if he were writing today, he might call his book "Hell in Hollywood" rather than "Hell Over Hollywood." I'm insisting that Hollywood is where Satan's seat is. Oh no, I'm not inferring that Hollywood is the only place where Satan dwells. there are many other cities and countries where Satan dwells and rules. In fact, there are many human hearts where Satan reigns. Do you remember what the Apostle Peter said to Ananias, the husband of Sapphira? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the prize of the land? Acts 5:3. Gene Wolfenbarger's book, When Hollywood Says Yes, How Can America Say No?, quotes Dr. Tom Eliff, preacher of the First Baptist Church in Del City, Oklahoma, as saying, "It is no secret that Hollywood, more than any other city in our nation, is Satan's epicenter of moral debasement, constantly shaking and attempting to destroy the spiritual foundations upon which this nation was built." Page 13. Wolfenbarger also quotes the famous filmmaker, George Lucas. "It is important that the people who make films have ethics classes, philosophy classes, and history classes. Otherwise, we're witch doctors." Page 14. It needs to be said in passing that some ethics, philosophy, and history classes might not make any substantial difference in what occurs in Hollywood. It would depend on who taught the classes and the philosophical foundations of those classes. Frank Capra, one of Hollywood's greatest movie directors, became disgusted with the moral trash being produced by the movie industry. At the age of 64, he walked away because he could no longer support such blatant immorality. Wolfenbarger quotes Frank Capra as saying, "The hedonists, the hemophilic bleeding hearts, the God-haters, the quick-buck artists who substituted shock for talents all cried, 'Shake 'em, rattle 'em, God is dead.'" Page 36. Frank Capra believed in emphasizing the positive qualities of his fellow human beings. You may remember that his movies included It's a Wonderful Life, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and It Happened One Night. Most Americans, especially our young people, tend to be hero worshipers. Our girls and boys choose sports figures and entertainment people for their heroes. What high school or college basketball player has not dreamed of becoming the next Michael Jordan or the next Larry Bird? Many good role models for our young people. Do we want our children and young people to practice barnyard morality? Living together in Hollywood without being married is as common as breathing. When some of them marry, they pay little attention or no attention to their vows. They marry, divorce, remarry, divorce, remarry, and divorce. Liz Taylor has been married 8 times. Not quite so many as King Solomon, but she is headed in that direction. When the handsome guys and beautiful girls lie around the swimming pool, they are about as naked as they can be without being arrested for indecent exposure. One preacher upset some people in a congregation where he said that some of our young women do not have enough clothes on to want a shotgun. The church members accused the preacher of exaggerating. Maybe he was exaggerating if he were speaking of a 410-gauge shotgun, but not if he had in mind a 12-gauge shotgun. Of this we can be absolutely certain. The young men and women could never be accused of being modest. In addition to their lewd dress, many of them are shown in the movies with a glass of strong drink in their hands. I wonder how many of our fine young people have begun to drink or have become alcoholics because they saw their heroes and heroines drinking in movies or on television. Those beautiful people seem to be having such a wonderful time. They appear to be the very epitome of success and happiness. Many of our young people may reason, if they can handle their drink, surely there must not be much wrong with drinking. Tragically, many of the Hollywood people destroy their abilities and even their lives with alcohol. And have you noticed how awful those entertainers look when the police arrest them for driving under the influence of alcohol? They may look beautiful on the screen or on the stage, but they look like losers in the police photographs. Glenn Campbell had the appearance of a down-and-out wino, and so did some of the other popular entertainers and sports figures. You probably have seen Michael Medved on television or heard him on his national radio show. He has appeared as a movie critic on Nightline, The Oprah Winfrey Show, Good Morning America, The Tonight Show, Late Night with David Letterman, and Fox News Channel's program Hannity and Combs. He is a devout Orthodox Jew. His book, Hollywood vs. America, Popular Culture and the War on Traditional Values, is the most devastating critique of Hollywood I have ever read. Michael Medved's book asks, why does our popular culture seem so consistently hostile to the values that most Americans hold dear? Why does the entertainment industry attack religion, glorify brutality, undermine the family, and deride patriotism? That quotation on the inside of the dust cover. I shall use the points in that last quotation as an outline for our study today. Does the entertainment industry, that is, movies and television, popular music, including some country music, actually attack religion? One would have to have been asleep longer than Rip Van Winkle not to know. I do not go to the movies, but I enjoy watching movies in my den. Molly and I bought a number of musicals, which we enjoyed watching together. I decided recently to go see the movie about Johnny Cash. I walked out about halfway through the movie. But I read about movies in books like the one Michael Medved wrote. One chapter in Michael Medved's book has the title, Comic Book Clergy, pages 50 through 69. Medved says Hollywood seems to go out of its way to affront the sensibilities of ordinary Americans. He expresses regret that there are no more biblical blockbusters like the Ten Commandments, The Robe, and Ben-Hur. Why do you suppose the movie industry does not produce more films like these? All of them were tremendously successful in the years of their release and the years that followed. Medved tells of Hollywood's advertising of the film The Vision, the film about some conspiring Christians who develop a plot to take over the world. The Threat, right-wing evangelist with an arsenal of riches and a hunger for power. A Conspiracy, to reach across Europe via satellite with the Word of God. The Mission, to control your mind. When this network goes on the air, start praying. Page 56. Many of the movies present religious leaders as if they are money-hungry, sexually promiscuous, and living in the 18th century or earlier. Tragically, some of the television evangelists have furnished a solid basis for such portrayal. It would be difficult for Hollywood or any other entity to find preachers who are poorer models of what they ought to be than Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker, and Peter Popoff. But to use these three men as if they represent the thousands and thousands of preachers, priests, and rabbis in our nation is dishonest. But the moguls in Hollywood would not intend to represent men who are religious leaders. Or would they? They not only would do so, they have deliberately done so for several years. There is hardly any doubt they get some kind of morbid satisfaction for portraying religious leaders as if they were Hollywood residents. Do you have the slightest doubt that Hollywood glorifies brutality, as Michael Medved charges? Is it possible that Hollywood's addiction to brutality has a detrimental effect on the behavior of some of America's children and teenagers? Michael Medved quotes Dr. Daniel Lenz, professor of psychology at the University of California, Santa Barbara. The consensus of social scientists is that very definitely there's a causal connection between exposure to violence in the media and violent behavior. Page 183. Two psychologists at the University of Illinois, Dr. Raoul Huseman and Dr. Leonard Aaron, found that those kids who watched significant amounts of television violence at age 8 were consistently more likely to commit violent crimes or engage in child or spouse abuse at age 30. When publishing their findings in 1984, they wrote, We believe that heavy exposure to televised violence is one of the causes of aggressive behavior, crime, and violence in society. Television violence affects youngsters of all ages, of both genders, at all socioeconomic levels, and all levels of intelligence. It cannot be denied or explained away. Page 184. Michael Medved says that Rambo 3 involved body counts of 264 and 106 killings. Page 185. The tragedy is that people who see violent movies or sexually promiscuous movies seem to demand more violent and more sordid movies. If they watch a movie with 100 killings, they lust for one that kills 200 or 300 people and kills them in more bizarre ways. According to Medved, Rob Bottin, the evil mind behind Total Recall and RoboCop movies, told Entertainment Weekly, "Anything I make has to be something moviegoers haven't seen before. That means new tricks, which means more money, which means the audience is getting their, what is it now, $7 worth." That's the thinking behind bigger and bigger and bigger. The question we always ask, how do we top ourselves? Page 187. Programs on MTV are often violent and sexually explicit. Michael Medved reports, the National Coalition on Television Violence found that 68% of them, that is the programs on MTV, contained at least one of the following elements: explicit violence, suggestions of violence, sexually suggestive themes, profanity, smoking and or alcohol consumption. Page 193. Some of the police shows, like Walker, Texas Ranger, kill more people in 1 hour than all the cops in the United States kill in a month or perhaps in a year. And besides, Walker, Texas Ranger leans too much in the direction of the New Age movement. Many movies not only are anti-Christian and pro-violence, they are anti-family. Again, I have not seen more than two or three movies in the past 40 years. But I keep up with what is occurring by reading newspapers, books, and other material about modern movies. Is there any doubt in your mind that Hollywood has been a negative influence on marriage and the family? How many movies and television programs actually support strong families? Do you believe the family is stronger today than it was before television came on the scene? Anyone who believes that television has strengthened marriage is either naive or blind or both. Arnold Schwarzenegger appeared in the movie Total Recall. He becomes disenchanted with his wife, played by Sharon Stone. She begs him to think of the sacred bond they had formed in the marriage. He says to his wife, "Consider that a divorce," and calmly shoots her through the forehead. Have you noticed on television that the couples who seem to have the best relationships are single people? Married people are seldom shown in a favorable light, but the facts are the exact opposite. Research has shown that married people have better intimate relationships than single people. Red Book magazine, a dedicated feminist publication, conducted a survey among 100,000 of its subscribers. The survey asked very personal questions. To the surprise of the editors of the magazine, they discovered that the more devoutly religious women were, the better their sex lives were. To put it mildly, that was a shock to the publishers of Red Book. There is much more about Hollywood I would like to discuss with you, if time permitted. But I want to close by referring to Kenneth Lloyd Billingsley's book, Hollywood Party, How Communism Seduced the American Film Industry in the 1930s and 1940s. I remember when Hollywood actors, directors, and producers accused the United States government of conducting a witch hunt when many Hollywood people were accused of being communist or communist sympathizers. The sad fact is, it was not a witch hunt. Some of Hollywood's most influential people were communists or communist sympathizers. Billingsley quotes Paul Jericho as saying, "There were communists in Hollywood, and I was one of them. page 8. Illingsley describes some of the modern actors who are communists. Jane Fonda championed the North Vietnamese regime. Hollywood luminaries feted Nicaraguan Marxist Daniel Ortega, and actor Ed Asner openly raised money for Salvadoran communist guerrillas, all without the slightest peril to their careers. Page 82. I have a question to close our study. Is there any doubt in your mind that Hollywood is Satan's seat, or at least one of Satan's seats? Thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.